Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Paul Mooney. Welcome to Analyzing White America. It's a very difficult job, and I'm just the man for it. Let's welcome our first guest, Congressman Phillips.
Hello.
I tell you what's been bothering me most recently is, I guess it's guilt. I don't know. It's like blacks make me feel guilty. Sorry. Arabs make me feel guilty. Jews make me feel guilty. I don't know. I just feel like everything by being a white man, I'm the guilty party. This 911 thing. I mean, you know, it sort of puts us all in the same pot, right? Blacks, whites, it doesn't matter. But it's fear too. I got to tell you, my fear. I'm scared to get on an airplane. I'm scared to fly anymore. I was supposed to have a conference in Las Vegas next week. I'm scared to death to go there.
9/11, it's a different world, ain't it? And shock, just stunned. And it took that to make white folks realize that we're human beings. Yeah, you understand? You know, because they were so worried about us. America's so worried about black folks. They were so worried about the land niggers, they forgot about the sand niggers. Now, a lot of you are clapping. A lot of you house niggers are scared. Just... You're going to get us in trouble. No emotion, no reaction. You black, you live in America, you in trouble. I can't get you in no trouble. So worried about us, huh? And then the rumors started. They said it was black folks. It was black folks. Black folks did that. I knew there wasn't no black people. Ain't no niggas did that. We don't commit suicide. No. If that had been black people flying that plane, you'd have saw a whole bunch of parachutes. And do-rags. And I want to thank, on behalf of black America, because I'm a black person, I want to thank white America. Thank you. Thank you, white America, for making us tough. Because we'll get through this terrorist stuff. You made us, white folks made us tough. Because they've been terrorizing us for 500 years. Sicking dogs, putting water holes, lynching us. We used to terrorists. This ain't no big deal to us. I'm worried about white folks. I'm worried about my white friends. They ain't going to make it through this. They're not used to this. I've lost two or three white friends. They've cracked up. They took them to the crazy house. They can't handle this. They asked me for my ID at least 5 times, dude. What the hell are they? What the hell?
Welcome to
today. They can't handle this profiler.
24/7 podcast.
No, I'm just sitting here wondering why the Ditto cam is at a 45-degree angle. When I sit here and face it, I mean, I look fabulous. I look absolutely great. I mean, I don't look bad like this either. I mean, I'm just wondering why I've never seen a TV camera aimed at 45% angle at anybody except me. Well, I'm thinking, why isn't it right in front of me? I don't know. I mean, probably because I've never really cared that much, and so for the convenience of the installers is where it's been. Is that right? It makes it seem like it's less focused on the TV show. Well, it could be anyway. Hi, folks. How are you? Great to have you here. Another week of broadcast excellence off and running. The Wisconsin primary tomorrow. And we are all over the place on polling data on Wisconsin. Wisconsin is notoriously tough to poll. You remember all of those Scott Walker recall elections that he ended up winning handily? And I don't think my memory is such that he wasn't leading in any of the pre-election polls except the last couple, you know, before each election. In those, what were there, 2 recalls and the standard calendar re-election for Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin. And every one of the polls showed him losing. And yet he ended up winning all of those recalls and his own calendar gubernatorial reelection handily. Wisconsin has, in terms of the conservative movement, it has just a kick-ass conservative movement, Wisconsin, even though it has notoriously been a blue state. The Republican Party contingent in Wisconsin is profoundly conservative, which would argue for a massive Ted Cruz win. Now, the latest polling data we have out of Wisconsin has Cruz up by 5. There are a couple of polls that show Cruz up by 10. And then there's a public policy polling poll. The last one I saw has one of the two up by 1 in a margin of error poll. But we've got all kinds of new things happening. Trump is back down a couple things. He has, for him, done a mea culpa on the Heidi Cruz photo retweet. Throughout all of this, interesting survey data as well from people who are not happy with these results, none of this has hurt Trump with his core supporters. None of this, according to pretty good research data. But that doesn't tell the whole story. You know, I've said from the beginning, when this all started, that nobody can destroy Trump except Trump. Nobody's going to be able to separate Trump's voters from Trump except Trump. And it looks like his core supporters are hanging in with him. And I think that's largely about what his campaign represents to people, in addition to whatever personal connection Trump has with people. His campaign's much bigger than him in terms of the support that he's getting and what people have invested in it, as you well know. Meanwhile, it doesn't really blow my mind, but I think it's worth pointing out. I mean, the Republican race is getting covered, and it should, understandably. There's all kinds of excitement in the Republican race. There is all kinds of drama. You never know from hour to hour what's going to happen in the Republican race. And the media is collectively doing gangbusters ratings-wise, covering anything and everything to do with the GOP. So you can understand, normally that doesn't happen. The Republican primary coverage is mostly limited to horse race characteristics, and it is dominated by the drive-by media doing their best to destroy whoever the frontrunner is, unless the frontrunner is who they want us to nominate, and then they end up supporting it. But this is unprecedented. On the Democrat side is where it's kind of interesting. The lack of coverage of Hillary Clinton and her problems and travails. Now, you might be saying, what do you mean, Rush? They're talking about the email. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact nobody likes this woman. I'm talking about the fact that her numbers with women put her in the cemetery. Do you know that Trump does better with women than Hillary Clinton is doing with women? Damn straight, right here in these stacks of stuff coming up. Not only that, Hillary Clinton has lost her last 5 primaries, and it looks like she's down 8 to crazy Bernie in Wisconsin. She might lose again in Wisconsin. She's being investigated by who knows how many FBI agents. We are told that the director of the FBI, James Comey, is going to actually do the interrogation of Mrs. Clinton vis-a-vis whatever's going on with this email business. Her approval rating has fallen to the basement. And as I say, it's even lower among women than men. And she's supposed to be cleaning up with Hillary Clinton is supposed to be a magnet for women. Women are supposed to be automatically drawn to Hillary because of all the things. Feminism, undeniable truth of life, number 24. Any number of reasons. Women are supposed to be flocking to her, and they aren't. A National Review poll, in fact, has found that Hillary has a negative approval rating with practically every group except black women. Black women, she's holding her own. But that's probably because her husband was the first black president. And everybody in the midst of Hillary Clinton's campaign, really, I mean, I know the fix is in as far as the Democrats are concerned. And I know the media knows the fix is in. And the media realize she's going to be the nominee. No matter what happens here, no matter how many states crazy Bernie wins, no matter what happens, Hillary's going to be the nominee. That's what they think. They think it's fixed, they think it's rigged, they think it's done, superdelegates, what have you. Crazy Bernie just in there as a placeholder for whatever reason. And so it's understandable, I guess, that there wouldn't be a whole lot of coverage. Plus, what is there to say about her? I mean, every interview she does looks horrible. Did you see this last interview she did on NBC? Well, not just what she said, but what she, the way she did it, it isn't working. And there's a reason why there's no excitement on the Democrat side. There's a reason why there's no eager anticipation. There's a reason why there's no momentum. At least that is rooted in Hillary. You could say there's some of that stuff with Crazy Bernie, meaning the excitement it draws his crowds and so forth. But in the Democrat primary writ large, it's a funeral procession. So in that sense, I can see the media ignoring it because they think Hillary is a done deal. But there's another reason that they're ignoring it is because it's so bad. Hillary's candidacy and her campaign. I'm going to tell you, folks, if it weren't for the way the Electoral College falls out, and the fact that she has a D next to her name on the ballot, I mean, that is her strength. That's her primary strength. And that strength is no better than if the nominee were Biden or Crazy Bernie. It's the D next to the name that shores up the nominee strength in the Electoral College. But it does show what the media can do when they want to either promote or protect a candidate, what they can do when they want to demean and destroy a candidate. And we are watching textbook examples of both processes unfolding right before our very eyes here on a daily basis. Then you go to the Republican side, and these stories on all the horse trading going on with the delegates. And how Cruz is outsmarting Trump. Trump doesn't know what he's doing state to state in securing delegates. All of that matters for the second ballot, which everybody is intent
being coming from the sky,
producing at least at the Republican establishment.
Did all four of them believe that they stayed here? There was no ascension or
no. No, you know, it was only a couple of elders who told me that they came from the stars. The majority of them, you know, talk about beings that come from the sky, but not in terms of that they came for. Like, for example, I was up at Monte Alban, which is a Zapotec city on top of a hill. Up in the state of Oaxaca, and these three young men approached me with a television camera, and they said that they were doing a documentary for a class at the university on the slash and burn policies of the people in Oaxaca. And see, what happens are these farmers, you know, they will cut. They will go into the jungle and they'll slash and they'll burn the jungle, and then they'll plant their crops. And if you stand on top of Mount Auburn, you can see all these little fires that are going on, and that's how the people grow their food. And so they were doing a show on it, and my driver came over and they wanted me to be in a show and talk about the slash and burn, and I said, you know, thank you, but no, thank you. And my driver came over and interrupted, and they said, well, what are you doing here anyway? And I told them what I was doing. And they said, oh, well, maybe we better do our documentary on you because you sound more interesting than what we're doing. And so we sat down and I bought them all a Coke and we sat there and talked. And this one told me, he said, you know, you want to go down here, and he told me how to get there, everything, and he said to this little village, And he said, there is a story, an ancient story from that village that says one day a man, a beam of light came down from the sky, and a man came down on that beam of light and stood on this boulder. And he said, this is a very old story. And he said, the story tells of this being who came forth and lived among the people. He married an earth woman, a Zapotec woman. They had one son, and when the son grew to manhood and married, the father goes back and stands on that boulder, and the beam of light comes and takes him to the sky. In the meantime, the father has taught, has terraformed the earth, has developed waterways, he's developed places for the people to grow their crops, and they've built their city. It was also a place where salt was very prominent, so he developed a trading with other villages for salt. So it was really an interesting story, and so I went there in search of that story. And so those are the kind of things that often happened to me as I traveled, because even though I was following in the footsteps of these two ancient explorers, I did just what they did. If I heard a story that might be interesting, I took off in another direction, and Stevens and Catherwood did the same thing. If they heard there was an ancient city and it was within their ability to get there, they went there.
Hey, you're a girl after my own heart, Dr. Clark. I have to be honest. I live for that. And, you know, sometimes you're lucky enough you could get to Peru and Bolivia, but you could do it in your backyard. I mean, I do this with, you know, the UFO investigations, and, you know, it's an adventure. And I guess I don't really care where I am, as long as I'm literally uncovering mystery and just killing it. But once again, it's about canvassing.
You know, and you're open to the possibilities of what may come your way.
Yeah.
I've had some people say, well, you know, it's just too much of her encounters, of her meeting these people came by chance. Well, that's how you get your stories, is by chance. You know, and always ask, you know, people say, well, how do you get the source? I said, always ask. Is there anybody here that's seen a UFO, or people from the stars? Has anyone ever had an encounter? I was at a dinner party, actually a barbecue last summer, and this woman from Colorado, she was a writer, and she said, what's your book about? And I told her, and I thought, oh my goodness, here in front of all this group, they're going to laugh at me, you know. And she said, I've had an encounter. And so she begins to tell me about her encounter. Well, before the evening was over, 6 of the 10 people in attendance told me that they had each had an encounter. Now, I believe that a lot of people have had encounters, but nobody asks, or nobody listens, or nobody tells, simply because they fear humiliation.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I even find myself, you know, when people ask me what my book is about, I'm preparing myself for people to make fun of what I do.
You know, maybe 10 years ago, Dr. Clark, I kind of joke and say, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we may have been the crazy ladies down the road that chase UFOs, but today I find we're kind of like the coolest chicks on the block. Everybody has a story. It just seems that way. We have one more question that we could take from chat, and of course, Night Sky is killing it tonight. He would like to ask, if there is a way that we can engage the star people through a metaphysical connection, you know, whether it's through meditation or, you know, another means, but, and he understands this is a higher consciousness level, but he'd like to know if we can do this, interact telepathically.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that I have seen the Maya spiritual leaders do that. I was on 2 or 3 different occasions where I was in ceremonies, with people who told me they travel you know, this invisible highway to the stars. And they begin by chanting, and they chant in their language, and they say their language is the language of the people from the stars. And they have this long, prolonged chant that they do, and then they seek questions and they get answers. He told me, one of the elders told me he could teach me to do it. But of course, you know, I'm sure it would take years. And, unfortunately, I didn't have years, to spend. But, the ancient Maya, I mean, the kinds of things that the ancient Maya used to do as far as their religion is concerned is still practiced in that part of the world. You know, people think, well, the Maya religion is dead. You know, I don't know how many homes I went to, and in the backyard there would be a table, and underneath that table would be the nine bowls, and in each bowl went a particular thing as part of the... They use corn a lot, and they use the milk of corn. They make a drink from corn. It's quite an amazing...
Yeah, in Peru, they have a clay gravy that they keep in a bowl as well.
In where?
In Peru.
In Peru?
Mm-hmm. And we actually stopped at, you know, one of the local residents, and it was this village. And, of course, you know, they were growing pacas and, you know, just amazing widespread in the way they build up these stone walls. Section off their properties. It's just brilliant. It's very beautiful to see. And we literally pulled a van off to the side of the road, got out, and started, you know, knocking on doors. And this family invited us right in, and you know, the women presented bowls of, you know, little snacks.
He said at one point, and I cannot believe it, he said, well, you have to give up some privacy in order to get security. My teeth almost fell out. I mean, I could not believe that in, you know, on a national program, he would say that.
Sure.
I mean,
what's the next big shoe to drop with all these Panama hoax, Panama paper hoax, and the iPhone hoax? What's the next shoe to drop, Mr. McAfee?
You know, I think they're going to do another law firm. I mean, keep in mind that the Casoc Fonseca firm was the fourth largest, not the largest. There are two firms that are more than twice the size of this one. I guarantee you they're going to be popping into those things soon. So, you know, if anybody out there has accounts there, you might want to, you know, remove yourselves even further from it, because the U.S. government is going to own your ass if you don't. Can I say that on
your... No, it's okay, my friend. I mean, look, if this isn't the time to use French, I don't know what time is. How do you think the power structure is doing? I know it's a bunch of different factions, but I want to ask you as we go to break and after the break, what would you call this time in history, my friend?
I would call it utter political chaos, Alex. I would. I mean, we've got the Republican Party seriously in chaos. We've got those in power trying to take the election away from Trump and the Republican Party, and the Democratic Party. God knows what's happening there, but it's not pretty in either case. You know, you've got a case of the measles or a bladder infection to choose from.
Or brain cancer. Yeah, well, the Democrats, they're robbing Sanders, and now he's trying to rob her. I mean, it's like just mugging each other. Everything's debasing down to gangs. I mean, we're really seeing the curtain pull back, and it is not pretty, folks. This is an amazing time to be alive, though. A lot of opportunity for freedom in this time of change. John McAfee's our guest. Stay with us.
Now, if Dirty Bill Clinton fronted me some weight, told me keep two, bring him back eight, and I only brought him five and stuck his ass for three. Think that clamp of the sickest goons on me? See, Martell Hall, that's my claim to fame. That's where I learned my sickest tricks in the dope, the gang. Like my favorite, I call it lemon head delight. When you lick off all the yellow and you sell the white. Right, well, if pimpin' be is fussy, I be being that way I received it. That nigga the B.I.G. will make y'all niggas believe it. Sippin' on Quavo Gold, off in the club, drunk as fuck. Calling them hoes bitchy and smoking my weed up. When I'm too sober, yeah, older, now I'm almost legal. Wanted to live the life of Cadillacs and Impalas and Regals. Fucking around with hoes, busting nuts in their mouth. Kicking that same southern slang, looking for love off in your jaw, homie. How to get you hype, bro? Reaper makes you calm. Cigarettes give you cancer. Rules make you dumb. What you niggas know about the dirty sound? See, never did I think when I got grown that some peewee sacks up and untook this town. See, life's a bitch, then you figure out
why you really got dropped in the dirty side. See, in the third grade, this is what you told. You was bald, you was sold. Now they saying Juice left some head cracked. I bet you Jed Clampy wanted money back. See, East Point, Atlanta through this roadblock. Talking about all this blow traffic got to stop. So the big time players all jump Freeman way. Had to find themselves another back street to take. Cause back in the day, we was out of control. We didn't understand all, nigga, that money ain't Joe. That's when me and Big Slate took an oath and swear. Never would we talk, never would we tell. So when they pulled up, pump and rock the bell, we took what we want and left them quiet as hell. What you niggas know about the dirty side?
Now the Cobras got the boys on the low on their back. Give Paula that Miss Ashley said they didn't get trapped. Behind the black, behind the green, behind the red tent. Dealers breaking off that blower for the wood chip. A lot of faces ain't around, a lot of folks got shot. Scatter Mac dropping cheese while that Crystals pop. Been on the ground with Cool Breeze, dropping pounds with beat. Eric Neal is the coolest from a century. Mac Town keeps growing old school like Charles. Stankin' like them Lakers and P. My Paul. Perry Holmes, the Herna Holmes, the all the Holmes. Adamsville, the Pool Creek shit, just don't sleep in the dirty side.
2, 3, 4, them dirty red dogs done hit the door. And they got everybody on their hands and knees. And they ain't gon' leave until they find them. See, powder get you hype, reefer makes you calm. Cigarettes give you cancer, wools make you dumb. You niggas know about the dirty side. You niggas know about the dirty side.
One day you're here, one day you're there, one day you care. enough, I'm calling it off. Who the fuck I'm kidding, though? I'm getting high, sitting low, flying by in that big body, curtains all in my window. This same hurts, this chain works. I think back, you had the same person, and this is all you had to deal with. Nigga, deal with this shit, ain't work, this light work. Camera snapping, my eye turns. Niggas dying back where I was birthed. Fuck your iris, spin the IRS. Get the hell up off your high horse. You got the shit the niggas die for. Try yours. Why you mad? Take the kid with the bad or throw the baby out with that bad 40. You still alive. Still that nigga, nigga. You survive. Still getting bigger, nigga. Living the life. Vanilla wafers in the villa. Illest nigga alive. Michael Jackson thriller.
And baby.
Got a bunch of other. I've got, you know, I've hit the point of overwhelmed with all the data we've got. I mean, it is just crazy. I wish I could tell you the inside baseball on the Trump stuff. It is crazy what's going on. I can tell you Trump knows about the New World Order. He knows about globalism. He's more of a populist. I wish he was more anti-police state like somebody like McAfee. Trump doesn't seem to get, and I'm told by folks that know him really well, that he's not very computer savvy. That's kind of a blind spot. Maybe if Trump does get in, maybe he can have McAfee as his national security advisor on cybersecurity or something, because we need some libertarians and people that know what they're doing, you know, advising Trump. Because he's got a lot of great points, but also some blind spots, John.
Well, it's the blind spots that really concern me, Alex. The you know, as you said, the overburdening police state, that has to be cut back. It really does. I think where the libertarians differ from Trump is in the idea that government is way too big, overbearing, and it is too intrusive into in our lives. You know, in my own campaign, I am focusing on reducing government dramatically. I mean, look at the FDA. I mean, the FDA tells dying people that they cannot have access to certain drugs because it may harm them. And so we're basically saying, you're terminally ill, but we're not going to give you this. We don't want to hurt you. The insanity of that, you know, makes me sick.
It's incredible.
And the and again, I think Trump's lack of understanding of cyber science and cybersecurity is also very alarming. And we have been attacked by Iran, by North Korea, by many of our enemies, and we just barely squeaked by through luck when the Iranians hacked into the New York power dam in 2013. They were trying to open the sluice gates.
Absolutely, and the Iranians better watch it with something like that, because I mean the. We don't just have our crazy government. We have all these other crazy government. You heard the question I asked earlier. I kind of digressed into Trump. I apologize. Reading what Google said, what they released last year, that when they were first founded 16 years ago, it was to create an AI system to predict the future so that when they predict the future, they can then add stimuli to control the future. They say they've successfully done that. Other people, Apple, have done that. Microsoft reportedly has done it. That's why Amazon says they come with a 99% accuracy rating with their Prime members that order stuff all the time from them. Have prepackaged what you're going to order before you order it. That is predicting the future. Doesn't that begin to end free will, and then we have an elite that's so corrupt with that type of power, Mr. McAfee?
Absolutely. It's not just Google and Apple and Amazon. It's also Facebook and Twitter that are manipulating our emotions. I mean, look at all the fake news from these, quote, satire news sites that don't approach satire whatsoever. It's absolute nonsense. And people on Facebook are believing it.
It's meant to cause confusion. Like they'll have articles from The Onion about FEMA camps that mirror C-SPAN, and then there's real announcements about FEMA camps on C-SPAN, and people think it's The Onion.
Yes, absolutely. It's insane. So it's a very dangerous, it's a dangerous cliff that we are teetering on, all of us here in this society. And seriously, Alex, if the president of this country does not understand the nuances of cyber science, then we're lost. I'm sorry, we are. And I'd like to say that, take this opportunity to say that the Libertarian Party offers a third choice. It really does. And it's a unique choice. And it's a choice where we want to form a government that gets the hell out of your way. End of story.
Exactly. I mean, it's like coming home and your 14-year-old kids are bossing you around and, you know, locking you up in your room. I mean, it's just totally inverted. It can't go on forever. And I see all this flailing as signs of desperation from the kleptocrats. What do you say, John McAfee, in closing?
Well, in closing, I'd like to say go to McAfee2016.com and donate a dollar, donate 50 cents, whatever you can afford, because we're up against two very powerful machines, and these machines have not worked for a
while. Sure, and I'll say this. I know you're running. And you're running to win, and I respect that, but you're winning by being involved, by being in the debates coming up, by injecting real ideas, standing up for civil liberties and cybersecurity that's sensible. Thank you, John. You're doing a great job. Have a great week.
A leaked memo reveals how the Trump campaign really feels about the establishment. An internal memo leaked to the Washington Post reveals the level of disdain that Trump has for the political establishment and their talking heads in the mainstream media. The memo, entitled Digging Through the Bullshit, is written by Donald Trump's senior advisor, Barry Bennett, who said the mainstream media and Washington establishment are working together like never before to bash the Trump campaign, as the networks have labeled last week the worst week ever for Donald Trump, and they are proclaiming that the end is near for his presidential campaign. The memo goes on to point out the disconnect between Trump's rising popularity and the media talking points. Another pathetic display by the so-called experts who line their pockets at the expense of our candidates and causes. You can learn more right now at InfoWars.com.
Introducing Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsLife.com. We have worked for years with our chemists and scientists to create the most powerful and affordable, great-tasting multivitamin formula available. The all-new Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink mix at InfoWarsLife.com is loaded with a full month's supply of essential vitamins, minerals, and amino acids that your body absolutely needs. In the history of InfoWars Life, we brought out a lot of amazing products like Survival Shield X2, Supermel Vitality, and so many others. But I am most proud of the product we're now launching today. With its unique delivery system and proprietary manufacturing process designed for maximized effects, this formula is the platinum standard of multivitamin mineral products. The ingredients in Vitamin Mineral Fusion are either plant-derived or of the highest quality lab standard. That means it's clean. That means it's pure. That's InfoWarsLife.com and Vitamin Mineral Fusion. Take action now before we sell out. Secret 12, InfoWars Life's vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. InfoWars Life, Secret 12.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Wayne Madsen is an award-winning investigative journalist, formerly ran a lot of the internal security operations at the National Security Agency. And he's got amazing sources. Remember, 2 weeks before it was in the Washington Post, he said, on site, he said, this place smells like Bohemian Grove. I sense Dick Cheney. It's almost like Darth Vader. I feel a presence I haven't felt. And then it turns out it's all true. Comes out in the Washington Post. Weird secret society refounded by Bohemian Grove. I don't know how he predicted that. I think he had a source, but he won't tell us. We're going to go to him in a minute. But, you know, I'm joking around. We're talking about a dead Supreme Court justice and something so suspicious, it's almost like it was designed to make us suspicious. He had a pillow over his face. No autopsy. We're going to get to all that. And Deborah Jean Palfrey, the D.C. madam, who he was friends with, he knows the lawyer. The lawyer's coming on Friday with Wayne Madsen. It's just crazy. Now Ted Cruz, phone number found reportedly in there, according to Radar Online. As we've got other big articles coming out reportedly in other papers in the next few days. We also have the Inquirer with another article with their source being Wayne Madsen, one of their sources, commenting on the D.C. madam and that number reportedly being in there. There's a gag order on the names in her list attached to the phone numbers. So this is big stuff. And let me tell you, I can sense when something's dangerous. I get a little tingle, a little sick feeling in my gut. Like I told Palfrey a couple weeks before she got killed, I get that same feeling on this for everybody involved. This is dangerous because it's not just Ted Cruz, but you got dead hookers, Cruz, now that we got to deal with here, and dead madams. I don't mean that name in the pejorative, by the way. That's just what the media calls them. The real slime balls are the people that go around using these women and then end up killing them. But I tell you, it is absolutely disgusting. We're going to go to him here in just a moment. I want to play a couple clips, too, of the lawyer coming out, Palfrey's lawyer. Also have a clip from back in 2008 where I was on Geraldo breaking down the facts. We're going to play that. Please don't forget that don't wait for orders from headquarters. Go to the sound of the guns. He's an investigative journalist that does freelance work for InfoWars, and there he is all over the news in the middle of the Ted Cruz scandal, and I'm, like, watching him from afar. And I go, wait a minute. He works with us. I need to get him on. Same thing. I'm so busy. I need to send him to the DNC, RNC. Wayne, I know you say you want to do it. We're sending you there. I'm going as well, but I want you at the DNC, not just the RNC, because I can only go to one. I'm going to the DNC, to the RNC. So a lot's coming up with our reporters, and just don't forget, this is the operation you've helped build. And we're almost exclusively funded by our direct sales. The network we're on pays their bills with the radio ads you hear. Okay? When you buy the products at InfoWarsStore.com, whether it's a Hillary for Prison t-shirt or a shortwave radio or non-GMO heirloom seeds at really good prices, you're fighting the tip of the spear in the fight for human liberty. Go to InfoWarsLife.com. Get the new vitamin mineral fusion. It's going to sell out by tomorrow. Amazing with all the amino acids and everything. This is the ultimate from our research multivitamin. So important for your children. So important for yourself. It tastes so good, naturally flavored by the vitamins and minerals that are in it.
That's all you got to do.
It's incredible. So concentrated.
All right.
He says a 30-day.
Yep. We rigged up the Studio Dome system last night or the night before to watch a movie in bed. And we watched, we watched Packing for Mars. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, check it out. We watched Packing for Mars with our Studio Dome surround sound stereo system. $129. Promo code JCRTWS. The banner is right there at JimmyChurchRadio.com. All right. Let's go. Let's get the show cracking. Today, Zach Bagans is 39. Ghost Adventures. I wonder how many Ferraris that guy's got in the driveway now. Zach Bagans, 39, lives in Vegas. All right, let's see. On this day in history, 1976, Howard Hughes, one of the richest men to emerge from the American West during the 20th century, dies while flying from Acapulco to Houston. Now, back, I remember this, and back, 1976 was a crazy year. It was our bicentennial year. Everything had red, white, and blue 76s on it. You guys remember that. And it was before the 24-hour news cycle. You know, it was before that. It was before we had news like that. But they broke in to regular programming all the time to report. Howard Hughes is now, he's in an airplane. He is flying. And it was bizarre. And all of these reports about his long hair and the long fingernails, and they didn't have pictures of him, so they would have drawings of Howard Hughes on his private jet, like in a gurney with his long hair. And there you go. Man, that was a crazy time. 1976. Fader fact. Listerine was invented in 1879 as a surgical antiseptic and was later sold as floor cleaner and also a cure for gonorrhea. That? Yeah.
Dang.
All right. I just had to do it. I got an email. And I got an email today from someone who was upset about my choice of guest. A guest. And in the email, it was stated that the only reason they listened to this show was because I had integrity and that I was my own man. Right? But they were upset. Well, they got that part true. I have integrity and I am my own man. At least they got that part right in the email. But when someone writes something like that to me, trying to, you know, with an agenda. I don't know what the agenda is. Maybe they're trying to make me angry.
Best he had promised his brothers as he led them through the wilderness of Mars.
Be with us at this same time next week for another adventure into the unknown world of Dimension.
Once have a born-again experience that you're always saved, then what does that mean? You can get away with murder? Well, of course, other Christians believe, you know, and it's a daily walk with Christ that you've got to have a commitment to follow what is right and promptings day by day that you can fall from grace. Now, you can repent and get back up again, but I think the most solid Christian belief is that you can fall from grace. It isn't a guarantee because you've had a born-again experience. But they seem to give Cruz a pass on this, and they aren't looking deeply at these very, very serious allegations.
They're extremely serious, and shame on a large portion of the evangelical community for not holding this man up to a strict moral yardstick. They are not doing it. They're looking the other way, and as you said, once saved, always saved. I disagree with that. This man is a predator. He is a serial cheat on his wife, a betrayer. That's really disgusting, and it should repulse any evangelical Christian.
In terms of the conservative movement, it has just a kick-ass conservative movement in Wisconsin, even though it has notoriously been a blue state. The Republican Party contingent in Wisconsin is profoundly conservative, which would argue for a massive Ted Cruz win. Now, the latest polling data we have out of Wisconsin has Cruz up by 5. There are a couple of polls that show Cruz up by 10. And then there's a public policy polling poll. The last one I saw has one of the two up by 1 in a margin of error poll. But we've got all kinds of new things happening. Trump has backed down a couple things. He has, for him, done a mea culpa on the Heidi Cruz photo retweet. Throughout all of this, interesting survey data as well from people who are not happy with these results. None of this has hurt Trump with his core supporters. None of this, according to pretty good research data. But that doesn't tell the whole story. You know, I've said from the beginning, when this all started, that nobody can destroy Trump except Trump. Nobody's going to be able to separate Trump's voters from Trump except Trump. And it looks like his core supporters are hanging in with him. And I think that's largely about what his campaign represents to people, in addition to whatever personal connection Trump has with people. His campaign's much bigger than him in terms of the support that he's getting and what people have invested in it, as you well know. Meanwhile,
boy Legion, the legend, man. I'm in here with Zoom Man, Glance Radio. That's where they do that at radio. That's straight dog, B Dub, Beanie Weenie. I wouldn't want to be nowhere else in the world right now.
Good morning, Texas, and all you northern counties out there.
Cops put a hurting on your ass, man. You know, they really degrade you. White folks don't believe that shit. Don't believe cops degrade. Oh, come on. Those beatings, those people are resisting arrest. I'm tired of this harassment of police officers. Because the police live in your neighborhood, see? And you be known them as Officer Timpson.
Hello, Officer Timpson. Going bowling tonight? Yes, nice pinto you have.
Niggas don't know I'm like that. See, white folks get a ticket, they pull over. Hey, officer, yes,
glad to be of help. Hey, over.
Nigga got to be talking about, I am reaching into my pocket for my license. Because I don't want to be no motherfucking accident. Police degrade. I don't know. You know, it's awful. You wonder why a nigga don't go completely mad. No, you do. You get your shit together. You work all week, right? And then you get dressed. You make, maybe say, cat, make $125. We get $80 if he lucky. Right? And he go out, get clean, be driving with his old lady, going out to a club, and police pull over. Get out of the car. That was a robbery. A nigga looks just like you. All right, put your hands up, take your pants down, spread your cheeks. Now, what nigga feel like having fun after that?
Oh, let's just go home, baby. You go home, beat your kids and shit. You gonna take that shit out on somebody.
How
Exhibit. Now, as you can see, the slaves were kidnapped from their homes, chained together for weeks. They would cram them onto these ships in very appalling conditions.
Thousands of women and children are being smuggled across the border.
Sexual trafficking of children. As you can see right here, they were treated like animals. They worked all day long for no pay.
In sweatshops raided by police, children forced into slave labor.
Slave masters were very cruel. They whipped them and they beat them, as you can see in some of these pictures. So, before moving on, are there any questions?
Does this still happen today?
We return to this prophecy that at the end of history there will be slavery. The greatest slavery of all is not the slavery which is behind us, but the slavery which is ahead of us.
The organizing principle of any society is for war. The basic authority of a modern state over its people resides in its war powers. Today, it's oil. Tomorrow, water. It's what we like to call the God business. Guns, oil, and drugs. But there's a problem.
I don't give a shit.
Our way of life. It's open. It's unsustainable and in rapid decline. That's why we implement demand destruction. We continue to make money as the world burns. But for this to work, the people have to remain ignorant of the problem until it's too late. That's why we have triggers in place. 9/11, 7/7, WMDs. A population in a permanent state of fear does not ask questions. Our desire for war becomes its desire. A willing sacrifice. You see? Fear is justification. Fear is control. Fear is money.
Just a minute. That's a little too controversial, and I don't think we're going to be... Here comes that black. Watch yourself. He's kind of smart, you know.
Appalled at what I see happening in this country today. We are told that America is the land of laws, a nation built on laws. In point of fact, nothing could be further from the truth. America is run by people who are lawless. We have no law in America. And understand that. The law is whatever the powers that be in power happen to say it is today. Whatever they say it is, that's what the law is today.
This road to my destruction, people step in my direction, and they don't even know just who I be. I'm here like a thief, thief, thief.
Dot, fire,
nigga, this war before the peace, and I'm yelling out, be quiet. all these fake crosses. I'm starting to think they all riot. I'm ludicrous, unorthodox. Y'all niggas is biased. Run circles around you niggas. 360s like the tires. Tell the niggas Kobe don't think. Nigga Kobe think too damn much. When I ball, I be in that paint. Take the foul for that clutch. Doo-doo brain, doo-doo brain. Turn off that two chain. I don't like these niggas, wanna fight these niggas. Put the fire to that ass like a new chain. Peace, love, and harmony. Keep these fuck niggas from off of me. I don't like nobody when I come around, so please fuck boy, don't talk to me. Watch out, frustration takes over the nation. People were placed in to do work for Satan. Peace, love, and harmony. Peace and love and harmony.
Shot fired.
Who I do or die? I'm just a proud nigga. Suicidal, homicide, loud nigga. Who I do or die? I'm just a wild nigga. Suicidal, homicide, loud nigga. People see me flowing and they wanna chase the dough in this life. Is an entertainer and they ain't even knowing who they be living like we sleep
dot fire dot.
Goddamn, bless the man who got land, bless the foes who got roles and cons they don't understand. Fathers who left out, mothers who stressed out, fridge empty on stamps. To the underrated hustler just trying to get some grams. I believe I'm the one. Spirit in a man, nothing's applicable under the sun. Fuck your Sunday, nigga, I'm just gonna live and die like a king. Huh. And never play the corner like the stand. Love, peace, and harmony to the people who want me dead. If they pull their guns on me, they shit's gonna jam. If it don't jam, then this shit gonna play. And it'll never be over, cause my spirit gon' stay.
Peace, love, and harmony. Peace, love, and harmony. Shot fired. Fired.com. Calm.
So low, you can't get under it.
So high, you can't get under it. One is very much aware of this, for example, when one is in Brazil or in Haiti. I was in Brazil and in Haiti in 1981. In 1981, I was studying voodoo in Haiti, and I was particularly struck by the way in which various African elements that had ended voodoo had, as it were, dynamically intertwined with things that had happened in the New World, and yet it retained an African dimension. But no one in Africa itself, going into Dahomey, where Vodun originally originated, could actually study Vodun in all of its aspects without going to Haiti. The same thing I found in Brazil, that when I went into the temple of the great high priestess, black high priestess in Bahia, I was aware that there were Yoruba rituals in Brazil that preserved intact what had already been destroyed in Africa. So that in a world where a tremendous shattering has occurred, a cataclysm has occurred, a holocaust has occurred, a holocaust far more terrifying than the Jewish holocaust, it is impossible to go back and find intact anywhere the cultural heritage of that world. You have got to go back to other places, other things, not only Africa itself. Hence the attempt to synthesize the African presence in the world by going through Europe, America, and Asia has been absolutely necessary. But this presents particular difficulty for any one person because no one scholar can master all three continents. Asia is the one I am weakest in. I spent 10.5 years in Europe. I spent time in Africa. I spent a great part of my life in North and South America. I've spent now almost as much time in North America as in South America. Asia is the only place I have never visited. And that is very strange because the radio in my country...
I hear you, man. Yo, real talk. Yo, we want to let our listeners know, man, we're back on the air. Yo, part two, actually part one of a whole series, which is called Today is the Day. I got my man, Mr. NYC himself, Corey Flute. Yo, one of the guys is definitely out in the field, keeping it real, letting everybody know what's up and what's happening. Now, you know what I'm saying? I've been bragging to a lot of the young artists, pretty much, you know, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the works that you actually do in terms of the community with the music. You know, today is a very real issue concerning a lot of our youth, you know, something that I know you're definitely very passionate about, something that you definitely, you know, have no bones about letting anybody know really what the business is and what's going on around. What I'm going to do right here, I'm going to give you a definite chance to just definitely just, you know, really, really, really implement and really talk about, you know, to the listeners, you know, that's locked in. We're actually live on a CBS, AOL, Yahoo, open feed. Last FM is definitely redistributing as well as Dish Network. So we got a lot of people that are definitely locked into this broadcast. What I'm going to do, like matter of fact, before I drop this joint and really have you just really just give the world what the business is, the joint, Line of Judah, the joint in due time. You know, the mindset behind both those joints, really kind of catch our new listeners up on just really what all that's about before I drop this joint on them in due time.
Well, Lion of Judah is basically trying to, you know, wake people up. That's my spirit, you know what I'm saying? That's waking them up. That's the lion in me. That's the Judah is every black person that's in America. You feel me? That's the black Americans. Just trying to wake my people up a different way than the other stars that's out right now do their thing. That's why you heard me mention names as Jay-Z, 50 Cent, Diddy. I said it on there, but I'm trying to come through, and just because I'm from New York like them don't mean I'm trying to do it like them. I'm a different breed. So that's what Lion of Judah was about. It was just to wake the black Americans up and let them know what they are and who they come from and what they really come from. You know what I mean? In due time, it's just about, you know what I'm saying? That's everything that's going on right now. You know what I mean? That's everything that's going on right now, up to the date, up to the time. And it's just letting people know, like, yo, in due time, like, you got to get ready. You got to be focused. Like, it's right now. Like, just do not focus right now. Like, you got to really build yourself. Like, because right now, we see what's going on, like, as far as with the communities. The cops is out more. The bees is out more. Shootings is happening more. The girls is out more. Everything is out more. You feel me? So it's just in due time. Like, you'll never know, but it's in due time. So I'm ready. So you got to be ready. So that's what in due time is about.
Definitely. Like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to definitely drop this joint on you. Then I'm going to definitely let my man, I'm going to turn the beast loose on you, man. Real talk. I'm going to let y'all know. Real talk. Like I told you before, today is the day. Today is the day that we wake up.
James goes by the name of J-Dog. He's with Spellmount Media and Entertainment. The website is Where They Do That At Radio. We'll have that all that information up on FTE Media Services. James, his company, he has been around for about a year and a half, but James has been in for about 13 years. They're based out of Atlanta, Georgia, and they deal with local artists and hip-hop, R&B, and jazz. How you doing there, James? Or should I call you J-Dog?
You can call me James, man. I'm doing great, Richard. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing real good, thank you. James gave us a call a couple days ago, and he had seen done some Googling and had seen where he located some of our services, and we've talked, and we're the type of guys that James wants, and James is the type of people that we want. So we're going to be doing some work there for James to do some collaborations there and getting Where They Do That At Radio out to a larger audience. Why don't you tell us a little bit about exactly what Spellbound Media and Entertainment is doing there, James?
Okay, well, under the banner Spellbound Media and Entertainment, what we've been doing
and the efforts with a lot of different networks, a lot of different local and always and also established artists. We've been putting together and creating a platform where a venue has been created for them to be seen as well as heard nationwide. We teamed up with an agency called Last FM, which is like a social network for musicians and artists to really be able to get their content out to a lot of different listeners and viewers through various different network sites. We became very intrigued with their ability to really be able to reach a lot of people. And it was kind of like right a little over like a year and a half ago, my marketing director, she came to me. She was like, you know, was doing a lot of different things with a lot of different groups and agencies. I think it's an opportunity that you may want to really personally get involved with and, you know, building some sort of a platform to really, you know, give the local artists an opportunity to really have a certain level of exposure.
The only people who don't want to disclose the truth are people with something to hide.
Many times people will say one thing when they mean another. But, you know, once in a while you'll catch somebody constantly making statements that cannot be true in any way, shape, manner, or form. I want you to listen to this next clip. It's a very short one. It's about 45 seconds in length. The individual is talking is President Obama. He's talking about his father who served in World War II. I want you to listen to this, and then we'll get right back to you this, and we'll explain something to you right after this clip. So listen to this, please.
Then, you know, we're betraying what I think is a solemn pact that we make with our veterans. You know, my father served in World War II, and when he came home, he got the services that he needed.
Okay, we all heard what the president stated in that short 45-second clip. All right, I'd like to bring out some facts here. Incidentally, that clip was on CNN News, and we will provide anybody with the original clip that would like to take a look at it. Here are the facts. Barack Hussein Obama Sr., who was Obama's natural-born father, was born on April the 4th, 1936, and died on November the 24th, 1982, at the age of 46. So he would have been 5 years old when World War II started, and less than 9.5 years old when it ended in 1945. So we can pretty well cancel out that he was talking about his biological father. But let's keep an open mind here. It could have been his adopted father, Lolo Sorito, born January the 2nd, 1935, died March the 2nd, 1987, at the age of 52. Now, he would have been 6 years old when World War II started and approximately 10 years old when it ended, making him the youngest veteran in history. I understand that speech writers take a little literary leave of absence of the mind when they write these speeches for the candidates and for the standing presidents. This speech was spoken in front of a bunch of veterans. So if it was written by a speech writer, the speech writer should have done his work, his homework, and researched the dates. If this was a speech from Obama himself, he would have known better, okay? He would have known better. For someone to stand up in front of a bunch of veterans and to give a bold-faced lie like this is unconscionable. I'm sick and tired of hearing nothing but lies. I'm tired of the controversy in reference to the birth certificate, which, you know, I'm not gonna say anything other than a lot of people that know their business real well about a forensic document, they're saying there's something funny there. Also, you got the Social Security matter where the Social Security numbers don't match up to where they were issued from and who actually owns them. I understand that there's problems, but it seems to follow this guy everywhere you go. Little things like spend 57 days, we've got 50 of them.
I have a gentleman by the name of Dan Norris, who represents Japan World System. Dan, could you please explain to our listeners and so forth a little bit about yourself, the company, and just how you guys are really revolutionizing the industry with the Japan small business?
Jay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Yes. My name is Dan Norris, and I'm with Trans World Systems, and I am an accounts receivable specialist. and involved in cash flow management, delivering aggressive cash flow solutions to businesses nationwide, whether it be medical offices or organizations of all sizes. And we've been doing it since 1970. We've assisted over 200,000 clients in resolving $6 billion in accounts receivables over the past decade, helping to them to eliminate their need for traditional collections agencies and attorneys. And our services are based on a fixed fee pricing of around $10 per account, give or take a couple of dollars depending on the number of accounts due. And TSI is fully compliant with all of the all regulations affecting first and third party collections, and we also provide a hold harmless agreement to every client.
Man, this definitely is awesome because I know we have a lot of listeners that's on here. I know what you're thinking, man. I know what you're thinking. You're trying to figure it out. Man, a lot going on. All I'm saying is that if you listen long enough, you just might learn something. I'm trying to show you something. See? See, diversity has a tendency to bring about information that wasn't quite intended to be brought out at that particular time. But if one pays attention long enough, they'll realize it's been around us all along. For all y'all that's conscious, you get what I mean. For all y'all that's saying, what? Focus on your focus. That's all I'm going to say. This is WTDTA Radio. We're featuring these local artists that are spitting the flame to national artists that are changing the game. And if you listen long enough, you just might learn something, man. That's for real. And without further ado, let the learning commence.
USMoneyReserve.com.
Stuff has happened in my life since then that I'm like pretty darn certain, like, I mean, the missing time and the, you know, the weirdness and the orange color and stuff like that. There's all these things are, you know, right in the, you know, you could say just UFO literature, you know, everything that I've just mentioned. So at this point, I'm pretty convinced that something happened.
Have you tried to reach out to Mike since?
That is an excellent question. It's one of the things on the checklist of my life to do. I have not. And we're actually friends on Facebook. I've got to be careful if he might be listening right now. So,
okay.
I know a lot of Mikes, so it's...
Yeah. What's Mike's last name, Mike?
Yeah, so...
Okay, and let's, before we get to the break, the third event...
Well, the third event is no longer, I'm no longer a boy. I'm a 30-year-old man, and I'm living alone in a cabin in rural Maine. Well, not a cabin, a little house. And it's wintertime, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and there's a bright light shining through the window, And I kind of propped myself on the elbow, on my elbow, and the way the bed was kind of pushed up against the glass of the window, and so I'm, you know, like I'm like looking right out the window. Like all I have to do is sit up in the bed, and my face is right up against the glass. So I look out the window, and there's big bright light shining in. My first thought was that like, oh, maybe there's like a deer, or like a car is pulling in the driveway. That would have been about where the driveway was. We had a motion sensor light out there too, much much brighter than that. Look out there. There are five spindly gray aliens, classic little short skinny creepy, the guys with the big heads, the big black eyes, and they're backlit by this bright light. And I can't remember, I looked at the light, I remember I was thinking the light was, there was an eeriness to this, to this moment that's hard to describe. It was weirdly quiet. It was very vivid. I do not dream that I'm in the bed that I'm in, right? So if I have a dream, I'm in some, you know, dream realm. I'm not in the bed. So to call it dream-like would be correct. To call it a dream would be incorrect. From that point, I... The light in the background was small. It was like the size of a washing machine. I mean, it would have been perfect, right, if it was like a landed flying saucer. That's not what was out there. And these things were walking towards the house. I was the only one there. That's a pretty scary thing to see. I was so void of emotion. I was like sucked dry of any sort of reaction that I should have had, right? I should have gotten up. I should have grabbed a baseball bat. I should have locked the doors. I should have freaked out. I didn't. I heard a voice in my head, and the voice was, oh yes, they're here. Now is the time to put your head on the pillow and shut down.
We get nothing but the fat shit. Them called beans are vocalized, vocalistic, vocalistic with the real shit. We got the shit you can't fuck with. Because we're so funk defied. We'll make it move from side to side.
Take the clothes off my back and not let you. You'd steal the food right out my mouth and I'd watch you eat it. I still don't know why I love you so much. Oh, you curse my name and fight to put me to shame. Have my laundry in the streets, dirty or clean, give it up for fame. But I still don't know why. It's amazing I'm in this place with you. I just can't crack your code. One day you're screaming you love me loud, the next day you're so cold. One day you're here, one day you're there, one day you care. You're so unfair. Sipping from your cup till it runs over. Holy grail.
Blue told me remind you niggas. Shit y'all talking about, I'm the nigga, caught up in all these lights and cameras, but look what that shit did to Hammer, god damn it, I like it, bright lights enticing, look what it did to Tyson, all that money in one night, 30 mil for one fight, soon as all that money blows, all opinions take flight, fuck the same key chicken on me,
yeah, I ain't gonna let the people frisk me if I'm dirty, homie. A nigga never touched me, I got that dirty on me. Y'all trying to fuck me over. 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 Niggas around me, yeah, they hit lit. Mix a little red and yellow when they get lit. Trying to turn up with a bad bitch. Having the telly doing freak shit. Niggas sell a little bit of everything. Rocket yacht and master in the pinky ring. Flexing like bitch, if you knew better, you fuck with a real nigga and do better. Shorty ass fat like she a stripper. That wiggle wish you walk, make you won't tip.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.